Today is February the 11th, 2015, Wednesday evening prophecies. If you would, turn to 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. God makes a covenant with David. And in verses 16 and 17, and it says, "And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and all this vision, so Nathan spake to David. This is part of the Old Testament that said from God, through Nathan the prophet, that David, his kingdom would endure before God forever, and that his throne will be established forever. As we talked about before, the Jews in the New Testament time were looking for this fulfillment. They were looking for the throne of David to be established once again, the physical throne. They were looking for a physical king and a physical reign again. And they went back to this. This was some of their basis for it. And this is what has prompted them to look for a physical kingdom. But of course, God is talking more about a spiritual kingdom. But you can see the reason for some of the problems that the Jews had because of the interpretation of the Scripture. We had left off last week looking at it was written afore of how the Christ, the Messiah, should suffer and the course of action surrounding him. We looked at Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 11 through 13, as far as the recording there of Mark. The 9th chapter, verses 11 through 13, how that Jesus had spoke to them when they were talking about the statement of rising from the dead might mean, and they ask him, saying, "Why is it that the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus responds back to them, "Elijah does first come and restore all things." We had looked at that before, that was talking about John the Baptizer. "And yet how it is written of the Son of Man that he should suffer many things and be treated with contempt." Jesus knew that he was going to have to suffer. He was preparing his disciples and others to realize that he was going to have to go through suffering. This was not what they envisioned. And even in their questions, when are you going to restore the kingdom? Even what the chief priests and the scribes and those were talking about, that there's going to be a kingdom brought back again. We're going to have a king. They were looking again at the physical aspect. King does not suffer. A king comes in, he takes over. He rules, he puts down the enemy, and he reigns. He does not suffer. So Jesus, from the beginning, has been trying to tell them his mission that he's going to have is to suffer. And that they had a problem with in accepting. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew, the 26th chapter, verse 24. Jesus there is talking during the evening at the Passover when he was with them. And he said, "The Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." Jesus said it was written of him that he should suffer. Right offhand, where would you go to see where Jesus was to suffer? What prophet would you go to? Isaiah talked about how he was going to suffer, how the Messiah was going to suffer. So even Jesus says, the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. Okay? Luke, the 22nd chapter. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verse 22. Again, this is Luke's rendition of Matthew's that we just saw. He said, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with me on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going as it has been determined." Who determined that?
The Father.
The Father did. We're going to see that this was set, predetermined, that the Messiah was to suffer. It has all to do with what main theme when you look at it? Okay, the plan of redemption. But in that 14th month of Abib, what happened on the 14th month of Abib? The Passover. Okay. What's the significance of that?
It's going to fulfill the Passover.
Okay. What happened to the children of Israel? They were what? On that night, they were what?
They were spared. Freed from bondage.
Okay. They were spared, freed from bondage. What's the word that starts with an R? They were redeemed. They were redeemed. With the Messiah coming, what was His mission?
To redeem us.
To redeem us. Okay, He was our Passover. What did John say when he saw Him? Behold the
Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God that does what?
Takes
away the sins of the world. Luke, the 24th chapter. We've looked at this over and over again. Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 25, when He's talking to those on the road to Emmaus. He said, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. He says, was it not necessary for the Christ, the Messiah, to suffer these things and to enter into His glory? When you look at verse 46, and He said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. He's telling them over and over again that even I'm going to suffer, then afterwards I was supposed to have suffered. Okay, so He's trying to get that point across to them that they understood that. Okay, Acts the 3rd chapter. Acts chapter 3. Verses 17 and 18. And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance, just as your rulers did also. But the things which God did what? God the Father announced beforehand or foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that what should happen to the Messiah? That His Christ, or the Anointed One of the Messiah, should suffer. He has thus done what? He has thus fulfilled. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 15th chapter and verse 3. Paul told those at Corinth, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins. How? According to the Scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. As to this salvation, Peter says, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful search and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicated as He what? Okay, as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. If Christ hadn't have suffered, if Jesus hadn't have suffered, if the Messiah did not suffer, then what was not to follow? The glory. Okay. What was the glory?
Mentioned John to restore the glory that He had with the Father before He left heaven.
Okay.
As well as sit at the right hand of God with all authority.
That was the glory. To be sitting at the right hand of God with all authority. Okay. What else glory did the Father give Him to? What's Acts 4:12 say? Okay. There's no other name than Jesus for salvation. Okay. There's many ways that He received glory in that. Luke, the 9th chapter, verse 22. The Son of Man, Jesus told them. The Son of Man, this was back when He was feeding them, feeding the multitudes and so forth. He warned them and instructed them not to tell that to anyone, that He was the Christ, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. He's bracing them for that. He's telling them, and He's also telling them who's going to do it. He's telling them by whose hand it's going to come about, this suffering that He's going to endure. Mark the 8th chapter. In this, it's being established that Jesus is telling them His mission and everything. He's going to suffer. Mark the 8th chapter, verse 31. And he began to teach them. What was he teaching them? That the Son of Man do what? And?
Be rejected by the elders and chief priests, scribes, be killed, and after 3 days rise again.
Okay. He always left them with that last part, and that was their hope. It wasn't that I'm going to suffer and be killed and die, but what else? That God was going to raise him again. Okay? Over in the 9th chapter of Mark, verse 31. For he was teaching his disciples and telling them, the Son of Man is to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he has been killed, he will rise 3 days later. Don't fret. I'm going to suffer that. I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to rise 3 days later. Okay? Mark the 10th chapter. He told them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him. And 3 days later, he will rise again. So he reassures them, even though that this suffering he's going to be going through, he reassures them that he will rise again. Acts the 2nd chapter, verse 23. In Peter, in his lesson that he gives to them, he's talking about Jesus. He says, this man delivered up how? Huh? By the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. That was the plan of the Father beforehand. You nailed him to a cross by hands of godless men and put him to death. Okay? That was the predetermined plan. The foreknowledge and predetermined plan of the Father. Acts the 4th chapter, verses 25 through 29. Who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, did say, why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things? The king of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur. Whose plan and whose purpose? Okay, God the Father's plan and purpose. And know, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. They thought they were doing things on their own, but who was behind this all? The Father was. Okay? Those who confessed that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed, the Messiah, there were those that confessed it before all the prophecies were fulfilled. Okay? Luke, the 2nd chapter. Simeon is one. Luke, the 2nd chapter. At his, shortly after his birth, in verse 25, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. Who would the consolation of Israel be? The Messiah. Right? He didn't know who that was going to be. Simeon didn't know who it was going to be. He was looking for the Messiah. The consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Who's doing this revelation then? Through the Holy Spirit. And it hath been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would what? That he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. The Lord's Messiah. The Lord's anointed. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. What was the position of the parents? What did Mary and Joseph think?
Verse 33 says they were amazed at the things that were being said about it.
They didn't understand quite totally yet either, did they? Okay. Then when you go on down into verse 36, there was another person. There was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Peniel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow to the age of 84. And she never left the temple, serving night and day with fasting and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was speaking concerning who? Jesus. Okay. Okay, we'll take those people. Okay, you're going to say, okay, well, you know, they were religious. They were in the temple. What about someone that was not religious? What about someone that wasn't even on this realm? What about them? What if you had the testimony of them? Mark, the third chapter. I think it's interesting in some of the situations he had with them. In Mark, the third chapter, the unclean spirits beheld him. They would fall down before him, and what would they cry out? You are the Son of God. To who? Specifically to who? To Jesus. You are the Son of God. He was the Messiah. Mark, the fifth chapter. Verses 2 through 7. You have the man that was had the demons out there, and he was unclean. Nothing could contain him. He roamed around the tombs, and even the chains didn't hold him. And he broke all of them, and he was strong enough that no one could do anything with him. And verse 5, constantly, night and day, among the tombs and in the mountains, he was crying out and gnashing himself with stones. And seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And what was it he said in verse 7?
What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me.
He recognized Jesus as who?
Son of the Most High God.
Okay, he recognized Jesus as the Messiah, as the Anointed One. When you look at Luke, the 8th chapter, you have the same instance of this demon that was called Legion. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 28. When he had come out into the land, he was met by a certain man, verse 27, from the city, was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, was not leaving the house but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. Not only did he recognize Jesus as the Son of God, but what else did he recognize and admit? That Jesus had the power and the authority to do what? To torment him. Okay? Acts, the 19th chapter. Acts, the 19th chapter. You have the instance here with Paul and them, and God was performing miracles by the hands of Paul. Verse 11. The handkerchiefs and aprons were even carried from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. But also some of the Jewish exorcists who went from place to place attempted to name over those who had the evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Here Paul was going about preaching with the name of Jesus. Why was that name special? Because he was what? Okay, because he was the Messiah. He was the Anointed One. He was the Christ. And Paul was preaching that by the name of Jesus. And seven sons of one Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. And the evil spirit answered, and what did he say in verse 15? Said, I recognize Jesus and I know about Paul, but who are you? And then what did they do? The man that had the evil spirit, what did the evil spirit do that was in him? He came out and jumped on them. Okay? So again, Jesus was well recognized, not only by those we already looked at, but even by the unclean spirits and those. Okay? Any question or comments so far? Now, even if you don't match up all of the fulfillments of the prophecies, even if you don't want to accept them, you've got to accept the underworld in recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Because they are what? What are they?
They were opposed to what was right. So it is not like they would have confessed something that would have given credit to the Lord for the sake of giving credit. Because they sought to destroy him.
Okay. What was it you said, Marilyn?
Well, then the spirits had been cast out.
They were spirits from another realm that recognized Jesus. Now, how would they have recognized him? Is it because while they were being spirits on this earth that they saw the things that he did, or did they recognize him from prior before?
They were cast out. That's what
God
cast out.
Okay. So they knew who the Son of God was, did they not? They knew who he was. Okay. So even, you know, there's enough evidence other than just the fulfillment of the prophecies. Some of this, that was not done in secret. The Jews that were around that saw that had to accept that. I mean, you stop and think about it. If you're standing there and an unclean spirit that's in somebody identifies that person and says, you are the Son of God, how can you deny that? But they did. Okay, we'll go to the next lesson here then if there's nothing else. The writings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were to show and explain who Jesus was to a people that were totally unaware. Now, let that sink in. Those Gospels were wrote 80 or 90 A.D. Okay? The only way that the thoughts prevalent about Jesus had been put out before were by how? By word of mouth. So the writings of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were put down in a form, and they were to show and explain who Jesus was to these people that weren't totally, you know, they were unaware who he was. They only knew Jesus as what? They only knew him as a carpenter who was a son of Mary. When you look at Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 53, Matthew 13:53, when Jesus goes back to Nazareth, and it came about when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in the synagogues, so that they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? They were astonished. In Mark, the 6th chapter. Mark, the 6th chapter, verse 1 through 3. When he went out from there, he came into his hometown. His disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogues. And the many listeners were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him in such miracles as those performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. Why? What had they seen for 30-some years? Just a regular person, just like them. Grew up in the area that they were at, and that's how they knew him.
And a nobody.
Okay.
Those people were not, Mary and Joseph were not from him, but only.
Right.
They were not, nobody significant at all.
And so, the Jews were looking for a Messiah who would come in mighty power and grandeur. And he would be fighting against and overthrowing their enemies, who at that time was the Romans, bringing in God's physical kingdom. And here you have this man that was born, and he's a carpenter's son. Nothing spectacular about that. The Messiah, in their eyes, would be an heir to the throne of King David. We already looked at one passage. He would be the heir to the throne of King David. King David ruled and presided over a physical kingdom of the Jews. And how great was it? How great was that kingdom that David ruled over? How about his son Solomon? How great was it?
The most glorious kingdom in the world. The
Did other people come to that kingdom?
He was from the tribe of Judah. David was from what tribe? No, Christ was from the tribe of Judah. I'm thinking of somebody else. Yeah, I'm thinking of another. Yeah. I was going to say that was something else. They wouldn't have thought of it. They were from the same tribe.
Yeah, they were. And after... You had all these other nations during Solomon's time that came to the kingdom to see Solomon and the beauty of it, and they paid reverence to that kingdom more or less. So they were looking for all that to be restored. What had they went through? 70-some years of captivity, being destroyed. They become the byword of all the other nations, and they were looking for someone to come in and just, as you say, sweep them off their feet. And put everything back in order and put these other people down. That's what they were expecting. That's what they were looking for. When you look at Isaiah, the 9th chapter. We'd already looked at 2 Samuel 17. But Isaiah, the 9th chapter. 9th chapter, verses 6 and 7. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And what? The government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord hosts will accomplish this. God says he's going to accomplish this, and so it's going to happen, and that's what we're looking for. Someone to come in, bring this government back in, and it be over everything else, and it's going to be there established forever. Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Zechariah, the 9th chapter. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey. Your king's coming. Now, when you want to see a king come, what are you expecting? They were to rejoice. What would you be expecting? What are you going to be looking for?
Some kind of grandeur or pomp. They brought in somebody of great significance.
You're going to be looking for somebody that's going to be strong, somebody that's going to be very great in speech, most likely, right? Somebody that's really going to stand out and really look like they're going to set the world on fire. That's what you're going to be looking for. Someone that's all of a sudden is going to rise up and be the king. Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, verses 5 and 6. When the report reaches Egypt, they will be in anguish at the report of Tyre. Pass over to Tarshish. Wail, O inhabitants of the coastland. Is this your jubilant city whose origin is from antiquity, whose feet used to carry to colonize distant places? They're going to be glorious again. But it's not in the way that they're looking for. Okay? They had this that were locked into the physical. There were no Jews. I want you to keep this in mind. There were no Jews before Christianity who thought that the Messiah would be a figure who would come to suffer and die. There weren't any. There was not a Jew one before Christianity who thought that the Messiah would be a person or a figure who would come to suffer and die. That would be his purpose. That's what they didn't think. It never crossed their mind. Even worse, they were not expecting their Messiah to be treated as a common criminal and to be crucified as one. Not only, you know, I mean, the events that happened to Jesus, that was just totally against their nature. You and I today are not surprised by this, and we naturally think of Jesus as the Christ. But to the people at that time, it was a most shocking concept to deal with. When you think about it, the person that we had our hope on, that was going to bring back this kingdom, he's sitting up there on a tree. He's dead.
Not only that, Larry, his whole demeanor, his compassion, his love, his humbleness. I mean, meekness, the whole aura of him, you know, they couldn't accept, you know, somebody that was totally against what they would have or want as a king.
And shows basically that Jesus knew what? He knew ahead of time what his mission was. Right? And there's the obedience. Good thoughts. Any question or comment? Okay, we'll start next time. All right, thank you.